Welcome to the Innovate CT Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Innovate CT Podcast. And we took a little bit of a break due to the holidays and the new year, but we're back and doing a couple recordings over the next couple weeks that we'll be sharing with all our great educator community here in Connecticut. And I'm really excited because today's guest, a gentleman by the name of Riley Fitzpatrick, is a little bit unique. And Riley, you're a first for us on our Innovate Connecticut podcast because you are the first student that we've actually interviewed. And I'll say first, you know, you're a high school student. And I see here, according to your LinkedIn, you are a senior at the Pomperog High School. So first, I want to say thanks for making time to be on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
And, you know, I'll tell a quick story about how we got connected before we dive into a little bit more about you, Riley. But, you know, I was on Twitter and I saw, I got a message. I get a lot of messages on Twitter and I saw a message from a company called HumanSight. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And I got a lot of different messages from like a lot of different people and companies and different things. But I always make sure I reply because I'm obviously thankful for people getting in touch with me. And as we started talking back and forth, you know, you shared a little bit about yourself with me and what you're trying to do with your company. And really were, I think, looking to, you know, hear more what I was doing. And I think the best way I would describe it is you were looking to help tell your story about what you're doing with HumanSight. So I thought this would be a really cool opportunity to have our listeners hear from someone who's been educated in our Connecticut school systems, who's done a lot of really cool activities around STEM and different things within your high school, and now actually you're starting a company out of it. So I'll pause there. I want you to just share with the audience, Riley, a little bit about yourself. Like I mentioned, you're a senior in high school, but a little bit about yourself, how you ended up, you know, having a passion for, you know, STEM and IT and technology. And then we'll dive deeper into, you know, how HumanSight came to be.
Great. Okay. So I am a senior at Pomperog High School, like you said. And so where I stand in innovation is I have been doing for the last 4 years a program at Pomperog High School, a great program that focuses on STEM and innovation and 21st century skills. It's actually called the Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences, and essentially offers a modified version of the standard science, math, and technology courses, which tries to better integrate 21st century skills like communication, collaboration, innovation, problem solving, all those great things. And the culminating event of this this program is the Expo Fest, the CT Student Innovation Expo, which is run by Skills 21, a branch of EdAdvance. And essentially you work for an entire school year on a project. And for the first 3 years of high school, that is a group project with about 10 to 20 or so students usually. And it's just kind of like a really closely knit group working toward some kind of goal based on a real world problem. And the last year though, my senior year where I am right now, is a capstone project, which is individual. And you work toward, like the group project, a real world problem. And that's what I'm working on right now. HumanSight is essentially a start of a company that I'm making for this CT Student Innovation Expo, which I hope to pursue after high school too, and develop into like a real functioning company or software or whatever it may turn out to be.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing that. And I want to talk a little bit. I want to dive deeper into some of the things you just highlighted. So the school that, you know, the program within your high school, is that something you have to apply to get into and actually, you know, or get nominated? Like how did you get into that specific academy you spoke about?
So anybody can join. It's pretty new. So there's only about usually 15 or so kids per grade, but slowly growing over time, and the projects are slowly getting better and better. It's about the seventh or eighth year, and every single year, it just gets more and more developed. but it's a you technically have to apply, but right now it's pretty much everybody's admitted, and they're really just looking for people who have some kind of passion.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. It sounds like you're getting a lot of great opportunities, which is always, I think, a real positive. So, do you have a single, a person or an event that has inspired you to have this passion for innovation and technology and STEM education? Or was it a culmination of different things, as you grew up throughout elementary school, middle school? How did that happen?
I think it was definitely a culmination of events and passions as a kid. I was always a like multidisciplinary kid with all these different passions in areas like film to neuroscience, completely on opposite sides of the spectrum. And innovation is really an area where those things go hand in hand, because if you need a company, you have to incorporate programming and design, marketing, and psychology, all these different things. So it's a really good platform to exercise all these different skills.
No, and I think at the root of entrepreneurship, there's an to your point, there's an immense amount of creativity and problem solving, and I don't like I told you, I was an entrepreneur at one point. I own my own business. I own multiple companies, and I think that's what entrepreneurs really love is the solving problems in a creative way. And I think people are really fueled by that. So I wanted to ask that question because not all students at your age, I think, have the passion that you might have for innovation and technology and STEM. So I wanted to dive a little deeper there. I want to also touch on something else you mentioned earlier. So you mentioned Skills 21, and for everyone listening to the podcast, we'll make sure. We'll link not only to information about Skills 21, but we'll also link to information about HumanSight, which is Riley's company, for everyone to learn about. But I want to just share a little bit about Skills 21 because a lot of people probably don't necessarily know what it is. So I want to just share. So according to their website, it's a nationally known leader in digital learning and recognized by the U.S. Department of Education as an exemplary model for delivering STEM achievement. And I think to your point, they have different programs for different levels. So elementary school, middle school, but for what you're doing in high school, it seems like, and I haven't been to the event, but I heard it's fantastic. The Expo Fest is really the premier event that they have at the end of the school year where you all demo what you've worked on. So are you right now working on your prototype of HumanSight for that Expo Fest later this year?
Yeah, right now I'm just kind of really in the midst of the prototype phase, and later I'll start to getting into like the details and like the community outreach, all those things. But definitely right now I'm programming constantly, this idea, making it like come to fruition, I suppose.
And does everyone in the academy you're in within the high school participate in Expo Fest, or does everyone in the high school participate in Expo Fest?
Everybody in the academy participates, and there's other groups in the school, such as AP Capstone, which presents research projects. But besides that, it's just the academy kids.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So and again, we'll share all this information with our listeners because I think a lot of people would probably love to check out Skills 21's website, learn more about it, and then maybe even I think the actual event is open to the public, correct?
Yeah, it's open to public. It's a really cool event just to see all the different projects.
Well, I just it's so I'm going to date myself here, Riley, but I graduated from high school in 1999, and I remember I took programming classes in high school, which I think was, in the late 90s, I think was a real, I think kudos to Rockville High School and the town of Vernon for making that happen. I took BASIC and C++. But you got to remember, when back then we didn't have phones, right? There was no mobile phone that could do what it does today. It was all, based off of, desktop computers really at that point. It's amazing how much mobile and mobile programming and the app economy has really changed, really just our lives in general. But it's also been awesome and fascinating to see how students, especially middle school, high school students, have adapted to using social media and mobile, and now coding for mobile and things like that. So I'm sure we would see some awesome stuff at the Skills 21 Expo Fest. So definitely we'll give everyone the information to check that out. So I want to pivot from how you got into, you know, learning about technology, having the opportunity to do it in school, to what you're doing with HumanSight. So it sounds like the first 3 years of high school, you did group projects, you know, as part of Skills 21, you learned a lot, but now you're on your capstone where you actually came up with the idea for HumanSight, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
HumanSight. Oh,
yeah. Well, yeah. Walk our listeners through the idea behind HumanSight, right? So what is it? Like, if you're going to go pitch it to investors, you know, how would you explain it? What's it going to do? How'd you come up with the idea? And give us some background.
All right. So HumanSight aims to look into and solve the problem of employee dissatisfaction and employee disengagement through creating more responsive environments using technology. And so what I'm developing right now is a piece of software that can go on each desktop in an office that essentially creates a more real-time version of what you might call a employee satisfaction survey, which companies might send out like once or twice a year, which can often cost up to like $30 to $60. And what it will be is almost a small kind of daily, very simple anonymous survey, which will give data to a sort of database. And at the end of the week, it will compile all this data and use an AI to, one, give anonymous data and kind of an insight report to the executives. And also along with that, pairing with the research I've done into kind of what these patterns might indicate about workplaces, how you can remediate these negative kind of conditions or negative environmental factors. And so the gist of it is that it wants to connect more efficiently the executives and employees to create a more responsive environment that can adapt to the needs of their employees.
So super interesting. And I think for anyone that works in, whether it's a small company, a medium-sized company, or a large company, I think this would probably resonate with them because you always want to know, how your employees are feeling, how they're doing, what's the general vibe of the office as an example. So
exactly.
So really, really cool. I'm going to ask this question. You're in high school. How on earth did you come up with this idea? Because if I had to guess from looking at your LinkedIn, you probably haven't had a lot of work experience at this point.
Mm-mm. So we call it the ideation process in the academy. And it's honestly one of the most frustrating, but also interesting parts of the whole process. In the group projects, it's usually us sitting around a table and just talking about world problems and various different issues that come up in our lives. And in Capstone, it's often the same because despite the fact that we are doing individual projects and we're competing, it's really kind of a group environment where we're all kind of bouncing ideas off each other. And so this project specifically sprouted out from an interest in changing environments through kind of lighting and temperatures, things like that, because I was interested in smart homes. Somehow over time, it developed into this through just kind of like a dynamic changing from like smart homes to smart offices to environmental factors to how the environmental factors change productivity. And somehow ended up here. And then this is what I decided was what was most promising and what was most interesting to me.
So that is, you know, innovation and ideation in its finest, right? So isn't it interesting how you started with one idea and it completely morphed, right, over time to the current idea you have today? It's just interesting, right? How these, you know, to your point, ideation and it can be frustrating, but it sounds like you've really come up with a really interesting idea. So let me ask you this question. So you come up with this idea. How have you, I'm sure when you first came up with this, you're like, okay, this is interesting. How did you then realize or get data to validate that this idea was something that workplaces would want? How did you figure that out?
So like all projects we do in the academy, the first phase kind of is research. We spend a lot of time just looking at databases, looking at research reports, studies, papers, and looking into real data about the issues. And for me, that was looking at things like psychology studies about workplace factors, and just talking to employees at various different companies. And for example, we were able to get a tour of Contractor Nation, a really cool office space that is a really good example of a very progressive office space that is responsive to the employees' needs. And so things like that just kind of familiarize you with the whole concept in the industry.
And through your, so you did, you know, it sounds like you did a lot of research, and it sounds like the research validated your original idea to focus on this, and that there was really a need. Is that, would that be a good hypothesis?
Yeah, definitely.
So where do we go from here? Right. So you have this really cool idea. It sounds like, I mean, let's be realistic. This is an extremely, you know, it's a huge, you know, problem you're trying to tackle. You have a full-time job. It's called going to high school, right? So how are you balancing building this, I would say, beta version of this software you're developing while going to high school in preparation for the Expo Fest, which is later this year?
One of the things I love so much about the Academy is that it's not necessarily something on top of high school. It pretty smoothly integrates into your normal high school curriculum. So the courses, your science and math courses, are really oriented toward this project. So all of the Academy kids will be in the same science and math classes. So you take the curriculum you're learning, and then you really kind of integrate it into your project. So you get a lot of time in school to work on this.
No, so that's fantastic. So you get to work on it during school, and my guess is you're also working outside of school as well, right?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, I assume. So this is your own project. Do you have anyone else working on it with you, or are you really the only one?
So one of the cool things about the project is we're always pushed toward getting some kind of mentor. And in this case, I kind of have a few different mentors. I'm talking with a friend who went to college for computer science, and he's answering lots of different questions about the actual programming.
That's great.
And then I also have contacts in some local companies. John Laverick from Nexus Design was great at answering some questions about what it's like in a modern office space. And I'm continually and always like pursuing new connections just to get insight from other perspectives.
No, I think that's fantastic that you're getting mentorship, because there's a lot with entrepreneurship that, you know, young entrepreneurs simply don't know. So I think finding mentors is a great way to try to, I think, really not make mistakes other people have made, if that makes sense. So
definitely.
So I'd love to hear a little bit about, you have the idea, you validated the idea was good with research, you've got mentors, you're working on a proof of concept or a beta or a, you know, whatever you want to call your prototype here. How is it working? Are you doing all the coding yourself, or are you working on that with your mentor? How are you doing that? And if you don't mind, what are you coding it in, if you could tell us?
Yeah, right now that was definitely a thing I had to think about, what kind of languages I'm using, what IDEs, all these different things. And right now, I'm specifically using Java, a library called JavaFX. And I had to learn all about how to use this new type of software. But now I'm in the midst of programming this, and I'm doing it mainly by myself, but with just mentorship when I get into challenges, which is inevitable with any type of coding
Yeah,
project.
absolutely.
And so right now I'm spending, just a few hours a day coding and creating this prototype slowly but surely.
So, and did you learn Java in high school, or did you learn that on your own? How did you, how did you end up figuring out that Java would be the right thing, and where did you learn it?
So programming has been just a part of my life for, it's hard to even remember now, probably since like sixth grade, just messing around with electronics like Arduinos and such.
Right.
And Java, I believe I learned one summer ago or so. But once you get familiar with programming languages, you can really just kind of bounce back and forth between them.
No, that's well said. I think most engineers or software developers will tell you that once you learn the concept of how to program, different languages really just syntax, and that's really what the difference. So fast forward to demo day at Expo Fest later this year. What do you expect to demo at Expo Fest in front of, it seems like a couple thousand people. So that's kind of nerve-wracking, right? Because it's not only, it's a lot of people, and it's it's students, it's parents, it's mentors, it's a a huge diverse group of people. What do you want to show that night? Like what's success look like for you?
So I actually have a list of the things that I'm going to be bringing to Expo. What I call them our deliverables, and that for me would be a working prototype of the first version of this program, a functional website and business plan, and a sort of online presence, and lastly, a sort of pitch or a way to present this topic, which in a practical scenario would be to investors, but in this case would be to the judges.
Yeah, no, that's a lot to have ready for a few months from now, but it sounds like you've been working pretty hard on it for the whole school year. So hopefully you're gonna accomplish what you set out to do, and have a great pitch session at the actual Expo Fest. Long term, so I got a couple questions for you as far as what's next, right? So you said you're a senior, so have you decided what you're gonna do after high school? And would you mind sharing that with the audience?
Yeah, so I plan to go to college, and I'm looking at pursuing computer science and probably a minor in business, which I decided after being involved in the Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences because it really instills in you a passion for like the kind of business side of the execution of these ideas, and how far I'll go in the academic world, I'm not sure yet, but I definitely plan to pursue this, see where it goes, and plenty of other ideas that I would like to look into in the future.
Yeah, and I think, I think that's fantastic that you're gonna be not only pursue an advanced degree and going to college, but also you're gonna keep working on this project as well, because I think you can definitely do them at the same time. I think that's completely doable. And I think the great thing about entrepreneurship, and it sounds like you've already seen this even in the short time you've been working on this project, is because originally you started out, you said, with smart homes, and you ended up to where you are today. Things will change, right? And you may have to eventually, pivot your idea or make a modification to it or tweak it. But the fact that you're going into this with an open mind, I think is great. And if anything, this is, even if the business doesn't turn out to what you ultimately would want it to, this is an unbelievable learning opportunity for you, which I think is really, at the end of the day, you're learning a lot of things you wouldn't necessarily learn in school by creating this business and this prototype and this business plan and things like that. So, kudos to you for
Exactly.
that. So, you know, I think I want to close with this. You know, first, thanks again for making time, because it's fantastic to get a student's perspective on, you know, what it's like to be in the education system here in Connecticut. You have, I think, have had a really unique opportunity, and it sounds like a great experience at Pomparog High School with this digital academy that you're in, plus the work you get to do with Skills 21. So thanks again for making time, number one. And then number two, I'd love for you to share with the audience what has been maybe a couple eye-opening moments for you as a high school student that you think have really changed you because of the education you've received, right? So these opportunities to not just do a traditional school, right? Not just go to school every day and learn, you know, what you'd expect to learn, right? You know, the history and the English and math and physics and things like that, but to go outside your box and really work on these innovative tech-based STEM-related things. Give us some learnings and some takeaways for you that have really, I think, helped shape you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So one definitely comes to mind right now is a lesson on initiative that I definitely got in my sophomore year, where you're looking to mentors for a very ambitious project about growing crops in space using a centrifuge. One of the group members was found a scientist, Dr. Joya Massa, who works at NASA and was the creator of the current method for growing crops in space. And he said to me, why don't we contact her as a mentor? And at first I was like, she's not going to respond. This is like crazy. And then he emailed her anyways. And she actually ended up responding and agreed to mentor us and talk to us. And she ended up being an extremely helpful resource and definitely impressed the judges when we got to Expo. And that just taught me that people are willing to listen to you if you have like the passion and you have like the drive and mainly initiative, because had he listened to me and not contacted her, we wouldn't have gotten the amazing opportunity to talk to a NASA scientist.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think it's what is the harm in trying, right? Is essentially was the lesson there. And I think also that networking is so powerful in reaching mm-hmm. out to people to gain information that you don't have or knowledge you don't have. A lot of people are intimidated to ask people for help, but the reality mm-hmm. is the perfect example that you just articulated. Many people want to help and are actually willing to help people that reach mm-hmm. out to them. So I think that's a great one. Anything else you want to share? I think that was a great example right there.
The last thing I think is just like it may seem very difficult to pursue these ideas as a student, but when you get to something like Expo and you're presenting this idea, it really pays off, because you're not only kind of validated in your work ethic and in your kind of drive, but you get kind of pride in your work, which is really helpful in pursuing new ideas, where you have the confidence to pursue ideas that you might have been a little too worried or anxious to pursue otherwise.
So it builds up your courage.
Definitely.
No. This is what I'll say. Thank you again. I think that's great advice. I think many people listening to this are going to be shocked to hear that you were a high school student, because you were so well spoken. Maybe you were prepped by someone to help you get ready for this podcast. But it was awesome. I think you did great. And kudos to you. And like I said, we're going to share in the description of the podcast, we will share the link to Skills 21, as well as contact information for your business with HumanSight. And I wish you the best, and we'll hope to connect again soon.
If you would like to get involved with Innovate CT, please visit our website at www.innovatect.org. There you can find links to our social media. We currently are active on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.